Glad to know that he watches out for us and takes care of us, even when we're unaware of things that may happen. And how many know sometimes things happen we don't plan for? Amen. Amen? Sometimes things unpleasant happen and we don't plan for.
That's right.
Can I just give you a word of warning tonight before we get into the message? If, in fact, you have an automobile with a lid that goes over the console, and you maybe want to get out and go in somewhere and you don't necessarily want to take your phone and keys, and you want to put them there where the lid goes over the console, be very careful how you let that console down. I'm just saying. There's a key fob that's very light to the touch, and evidently that's what happened when I went this morning. I had to go out to the clinic, have a little blood work done, so I didn't want to take all that stuff in, so I just put it in the console. Well, needless to say, when I got back, all four doors of my truck was locked tight, and I had no phone, no keys. Felt like Gilligan on stranded on the island somewhere. But anyway, thank God I had my walking shoes on. Found the phone, and we got my wife to bring me a key. I'm just saying, I just give you a little warning, you know, because probably most people carry their keys in. And Penny said, "That's a dumb thing to do." I said, "Yeah, baby, I know. Appreciate you pointing that out." But anyway, oh, praise God! We got any blessed folks in the house tonight? I mean, just really blessed. Praise God. Well, glory. Go with us to the 34th Psalm tonight, Psalm of David. We're going to begin in verse number 15 of the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34, verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of most all their troubles. Amen. Thank God for you Bible readers. Delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Can we bow our heads and pray tonight? Brother Walter, lead us to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing. Amen. Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, Hurt Can Be Healed. Hurt can be healed. The 34th Psalm is a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior. Now that's a very interesting choice of words, but every reference that I made on verse number or chapter number 34 seemed to say the same thing, that David changed his behavior before Abimelech, who was a king of the Philistines, who drove him away and he departed. What in the world was David doing in the Philistine camp trying to get on the good side of Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, an ancient enemy of Israel? Well, I'll tell you. How many knows that hurt can drive you to places you don't need to be? David was, in fact, on the run from Saul. You remember it was Saul who gave David his armor when David volunteered to go out and fight the giant Goliath. I would say they were on pretty good terms at that particular time. I would imagine that Saul was pretty impressed with David, his bravery and his willingness to go out and to fight. But, you know, David couldn't use the armor. You know the story. He said, "I have not tried it. I have not proven it." He said, "I'll just go with what I'm comfortable with, and I'll just go in the name of the Lord." But as time passed by, and I'm abbreviating the story here a little bit to get to where we want to be tonight, but David's fame and popularity began to grow so much so that it caused jealousy in Saul's heart, and Saul began to have bitterness and anger, and finally animosity against David. So as David, his fame rose and his popularity, and he was had the men behind him, and he was winning his battles, and now we find that he was on the run from Saul. Now, a lot of people think that David was running because he was a coward or because he was fearful. The main reason that David was running is because he still held to the fact that Saul was God's anointed king. David was not going to touch or harm anything that was anointed of God. And you know that story. So we find that David sought refuge in the Philistine camp, or to the Philistine king of Abimelech. And so Abimelech began to question David, and he began to question the men around him, and wondering why this great man of valor was running from Saul when he himself was more popular, and even the songs he brought up, the songs that that Israelites were singing, that Saul had killed his thousands and David had killed his 10,000, and how the people really, really were lifting him up and honoring David. And he was a little bit bewildered here, and he began to question, and it began to kind of put fear or kind of anxiety in David's heart, because he realized now that Abimelech may be out to do him harm. So the Bible says, and Bible reference speaks of it too, that David changed his behavior. And the way that he changed his behavior, he began to put on an act. The act that he began to put on was one that he began to rant and rave outside the gate and kind of bang his head against the gate, and he began to, like he was foaming at the mouth, in order to give the impression that he was mad. And Abimelech actually believed that David was mad. He said he's gone mad, and all of this grief and all of this sorrow and everything has caused him to basically go over the deep edge. So he drove him away, when actually it saved his life. David here gets an opportunity. Now, I'm not sure exactly when David wrote this psalm, but Bible scholars tell us it was during or after the time that he had put on this debauchery, or whatever you want to call it, and fooling Abimelech into thinking that he was, in fact, mad. But I believe that David began to, again, seek the Lord and understand that what he was doing and the hurt that he had in his life could, in fact, be healed. And he began to write here. So I laid all of that groundwork to read this again. David wrote this after, I would imagine that David was pretty perplexed, because there was nowhere really to go. He had already gone to different parts around Israel and around the land of Canaan, and he was always on the run. You even know that he was hiding sometimes in the cave and always trying to be a step or two ahead of Saul, and he thought that maybe he could find refuge. And there is such a wonderful lesson there. Listen, you cannot find refuge in the camp of Satan. You cannot find solace in the world. The world is not going to give you peace. The world is not going to heal your hurt. I began to think about this week. I listened quite a bit to the 93, I think. Joy FM, that's what it is. And, you know, I'm still pretty much an old Southern gospel and hymnal man, but every once in a while I listen to the contemporary, and I told Penny the other day, we were driving down the road, and they began to play one of those songs, and I said, "Baby, I don't think you'll find that in the hymnal." Then you had to listen to find some words to let you know that it was a gospel song, but, you know, it was kind of like the old days of American Bandstand. It had a good beat and it's easy to dance to, you know, so that. But the words finally came out to let me know that it was a Christian song. And then they have these little breaks where they talk. And one of the women that was there, I guess one of the DJs, sometimes she reads letters. And she read a letter where somebody had written in asking for her advice on how to get over hurt. Deep embedded hurt that she had been carrying for years and years and years. And you know, I appreciate the lady for being concerned. But she began to say, you know, I can't just give her one or two words advice. This is going to take some. I need to sit down with her, and we need to go into this long, deep thing, you know, about how to heal the hurt and how to go forward and all of that. And I was thinking, no, you know, you don't really have to do that. And I began to search the scriptures, because I believe that you and I adhere to the fact that if we are hurting, if we are hurting physically, if there is a condition in our life, if there's a disease or a sickness, how many believes that the Bible tells us that we can call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and they'll be delivered? Do we have anybody in the church that believes that God can heal sickness? Can He heal disease? Can He heal situations in our life? I believe that same God is also the antidote to heal hurt. We can talk about it. We can research it. We can read books. We can do this. But you know what? When we turn it over to God, when we release it and give it to God, I believe God can, in fact, heal hurt. I believe that He can heal him, and I believe David found that out too, because David evidently had some inbred hurt in his life, and he was carrying this around. But then he begins to write, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. In other words, God cares about what ails you. God cares about what you're dealing with. God cares what concerns us, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry. Let me tell you something. If we are living a life unto the Lord, God is concerned about the righteous souls. He's concerned about you and me. And He wants to touch you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to heal you. Not only your disease, not only your sickness, amen, but those things that come against you. And all of my adult life that I've been in church, and even when I was a young boy, I can even vaguely remember the pastor and some of the ministers talking about many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you know, you always want to quote the rest of that. God delivers them out of them all. And many, many times I associated afflictions with sickness or afflictions with pain. And it can, in fact, be. But if you really look and understand, if you get a Greek-Hebrew Bible and you begin to look up afflictions, it wasn't talking about physical ailments. God can heal physical ailments. God healed leprosy. He opened up blinded eyes. He healed the lame. He unstopped deaf ears. He healed all manner of diseases. But there's a reason there. I believe that the Bible talks, and David talks explicitly, about many are the afflictions. I don't think he was talking about physical pain. I don't think he was talking about a scar or a wound from the war. I think David was talking about something in his soul that somehow he couldn't get over. Somehow he couldn't get relief, and he needed God to intercede and come on behalf of him and touch that inward part of him that was hurting, that inward part of him that had been bruised, that inward part of him that had been carrying around a great load for months on end and trying to find relief, trying to find refuge. But finally he came to the realization, if I believe God is the healer of my body, I can trust Him with my soul. I can trust Him with my inner man. I can trust Him with those things, amen, that have been burdening me down, those things that have been drawing me back when I needed to be victorious. Because he says, many are the afflictions. Afflictions, basically, as the Greek-Hebrew, I turned over, it means evil or hurtful thoughts, unpleasantness, unhappiness, misfortune, adversity. No wonder David said, many are the afflictions. And listen to what he says, of the righteous. Man. Of the righteous, that means you and me that are living for God. Not that we're mighty and great, but righteous. The righteous means there's no good thing in me except the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the only thing righteous about me, is the power of the Holy Ghost that is within me. But that causes us to be children of God. And I believe the Lord is concerned about our happiness. I believe He's concerned about our spiritual welfare. So David tells us here, after all of these things that he's been through and all of these times on the run and trying to hide and all of the grief and the pain and the sorrow that he keeps bottled up all the time, He's coming to the realization now that if I'll just bundle them up and give them to the Lord Jesus, amen, and ask the Lord to heal me, God will deliver us from the things that give us pain and grief. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Evil and hateful or evil and hurtful thoughts, unpleasantness, unhappiness, misfortune, adversity. All of those things we can bundle up and give to the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that God will take them, amen, and move them out of our life and put those wonderful thoughts and that wonderful spirit of victory into our lives. We can make happiness, amen, in unpleasant situations. My dad, he was just one of my heroes of many that, and my dad, when he got out and cut grass, and we had just moved over to a subdivision. We were used to living over on Harlan Lane Road, where it wasn't really a subdivision. It was pretty much family members. We had my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy, my granny Allen was up there, Uncle Max, and Aunt Dorothy was on up the road. So, you know, you could pretty much go anywhere and do anything. But when we moved over to the subdivision, and the houses were a little bit closer, and Dad would get out on the riding lawnmower, and he thought, I guess, that when singing, nobody could hear him over the motor, but it seemed to amplify his voice. And he would make one of the most mundane, terrible chores of cutting the grass into one of the most happiest, exciting things that you could ever be. I mean, you could just see him just bouncing out there. And Mother would, she would always say, Charles, you're too loud. You're going to wake up the neighbors. You're going to bother the neighbors. And Daddy would just smile and grin, you know, and it wouldn't be 5 or 10 minutes later. He'd just be singing and having the greatest time riding the lawnmower, glorifying and praising God. And there was something. He said, well, I just get out there and I get to thinking that my mind gets clear and I just begin to think about how good God is and how wonderful God is, and I can't help but glorify and praise Him. How many knows that praise, amen, can praise the hurt away? Love the song that Sister Jennifer sings, Praise the Hurt Away. Amen. So sometimes we'll pray and pray and pray and pray, try to pray the hurt away, and that works too. But if we'll just praise the hurt away, Lord, I am too blessed to be concerned about this. I'm too blessed, as the saying is, too blessed to be stressed. I may have afflictions. I may have unpleasant situations. I may have, I may even lock my keys up in the car, in the truck sometime. And, you know, and the first thing is, you know, it's aggravating, you know. And I don't know about y'all, but when a door's locked, it don't matter if you pull it once or three times. It's still not going to open. Believe me, I tried it. All four doors I pulled at least three times. Just hoping, Brother Thomas, that maybe one of them would release. You know, it's a miracle, but it didn't happen, you know. But thank God that I had the ability to walk down and get to a phone and call somebody who had the key. But, you know, we let too many little things upset us, too many little things. And God forbid that we bring them into the service and worship and praising God. You know, the trouble tree, how many remembers the trouble tree? And the whole concept behind the trouble tree was whatever trouble you got, whatever problem you got, don't bring it in the sanctuary. Hang it out there on the trouble tree. And then we said, don't even do that. But not only that, but when you leave, don't pick it back up. Amen. Give it to God. Amen. How many knows what that means? To really release it and give it to God. Not only the physical things. And we know, we're a Bible-believing church that believes that God can heal. And many people in here are testimonies to the fact that God can touch and heal the sicknesses and heal the things of our life, but we also need to be able to trust Him for those unpleasant situations, those things in our life, those burdens, those problems. And let me tell you, Satan loves to bring up that stuff. He loves to bring and crowd your mind and crowd your spirit with things that happened years and years and years ago, things that we should have already given to God. Those are the unpleasant things, the unhappiness, the misfortune, and the adversity. How many knows that misfortune does happen? Life is hard. Life can be very, very difficult. But it does not have to be impossible. In other words, hurt doesn't have to be terminal, all right? We can get over hurt. We can get past hurt. Not on ourselves. I'm not up here telling you that hurt is a little menial thing or a little thing that doesn't mean it does. It sometimes it even hurts worse than the physical pain. Amen. How many knows that? Sometimes because we can't get it out. But I'm here to tell you that according to the Word of God, God can heal the hurt. He can take it away. He can move it out of our lives. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Amen. And how many times have we said we're brokenhearted? Brokenhearted. Our spirit is broken. But if we'll put our faith and trust in God, amen, God will see us through those very trying times. I read one particular reference, and the writer began to, he actually thought that maybe this was somewhat of a type and shadow of what Jesus went through. How many knows that David was called a man after God's own heart? And I know that David was in touch with the Lord and obedient unto God in many, many ways. And some of the things that he wrote, if you look at those, it's almost a type and shadow of what Jesus Christ went through. How many knows that with his stripes we are healed? That's what the Bible says. And he took those stripes and he was bruised and chastised for us, for our atonement. And, you know, all of these terrible things that he went through. But yet, he did not give up. He did not quit. He kept going. And finally, even when he hung on the cross, and David alludes to that, after all of his pain, after all of the humiliation, after all of the cruel stripes that were laid upon him, not one of his bones were broken. And how many knows that there was a reason for that? That was prophetic. Amen. That was the prophecy of the Bible, that his bones would not be broken. And they would go around, and you know how that you've read the ancient history that if they went down around sundown and still they had not suffocated, the crucifixion had not caused them to die, then many, many times they would take a club and they would break their legs, the bones in their legs, so they couldn't support their weight again. And that was the way that they would die on the cross. But Jesus did not have a bone broken in his body, part of the prophecy. And that to me is wonderful, because the hurt, the pain, the humiliation that we go through, we don't have to be brokenhearted about it. Amen. You know, I'm not saying that hurt is right. I'm not saying that, just forget it and let it run off your back like a duck, like a water off a duck's back. But I am saying take it to the Lord, because if he can heal your headache, he can heal your heartache. Amen. Would you just give the Lord praise for that? Glory to God. I love him with all of my heart. He keepeth all his bones, not a one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. God will, in fact, make a way. He will heal the hurts within our body, the pain, the situations that come on us sometimes on a daily basis. And I think Satan has learned that trick, that sometimes he can do more harm attacking our spirit than he can attacking our flesh. I know, because believe me, once we start hurting in our body, we call on the Lord. I do. I don't like pain. I don't like to hurt. I want to get healed just as fast as I can. But I wish I could trust those hurt feelings like I do the pain in my body. Just say, Lord, here, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. Lord, I'm not going to be put down with it. I'm not going to carry it anymore. I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus. And God will be victorious, and God will make a way in our life. Okay? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Evil, hurtful thoughts, unpleasantness, unhappiness, misfortune, adversity, the list goes on and on and on. Whatever's troubling you, whatever problem, whatever issue you have in your life, if we'll just turn it over to the Lord, how many believes the Lord will take it away from us? God bless you. I love you and I appreciate you. Amen. I'm going to let you go early tonight. Amen. I'm not going to dwell on that, because I just felt like just really, really sharing that. God has just really been speaking to me this week about the difference between physical pain, amen, and the pain that comes with these hurt things in our situation. God's just as able to heal them as he is the physical pain. Glory to God. Would you stand? Maybe you have a need tonight. Maybe you have a sickness. Maybe you have a situation in your life. We never, ever want to dismiss service without giving you an opportunity to come forward, and we'll pray and ask God to deliver you.